Look at you, hacker. A pathetic creature of meat and bone, panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect, immortal machine?
It's time for Video Games Weekly. Industry news, reviews, what's great, what's garbage. Everything you need to know about video games. Now, along with Andy Reiner, here's the Fan's Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Video Games Weekly on the Fan. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host, as always, Reiner. Good evening.
Hello, sir.
Very happy to be joined by frequent contributor Kato from Game Informer as well. Hi.
Hello.
Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You do sports titles, racing titles. You do Madden either every year or almost every year. It is Madden season. Madden 19 comes out. Well, wait. Can the earliest people get it right now? If you've got EA access or whatever it is,
yes,
they can get it. I feel like today or something.
Actually, on PC, it came out first if you had Origin access, and then I think people who bought, I want to say like one of the deluxe editions,
pre-order,
Can play it on now. So basically, on all of the three systems, you can play it in some form or another. But it will come out for everybody on the 10th.
10th, yeah. Everybody else gets it on the 10th.
We need one release date.
That would be nice.
Enough of this garbage.
Maybe it works. I mean, maybe there are people that really do pay more so they could play Madden one day early and say, I think they want to be first.
People who have been, grinding solos and doing stuff in Ultimate Team to get their Ultimate Team, up to snuff so that, they can,
Be very competitive day one.
Yeah.
If you have questions about Madden, if you've already tried Madden, we encourage you to call in 1-800-320-5326. And in addition to Madden, we'll talk about Dead Cells, one of Reiner's favorite games of this year, comes out this week. We'll tell you about that. Overcooked 2.
Uh-huh.
Overcooked 1. Reiner and I have been talking about it for 2 years. It's one of our all-time favorite couch co-op games. We'll talk about the sequel entry to Overcooked as well, and a handful of other topics for you over the course of this show. But Kato, let's dive into Madden. By the way, you touched on this. It's out on PC! First time in what? At least a decade.
Yep, almost. I think exactly a decade.
Exactly a decade. We've got PC support for a Madden game. Do you believe, like I do, it's that they're doing most of their coding on PC anyway, and that makes it awfully easy to just put it out on PC?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Also, in the past couple of years, all the EA Sports games have gone to the Frostbite engine, which is EA DICE uses for Battlefield franchise. So I think that makes it a lot easier. I know the past they've always talked about sales, but look at these days. Maybe 10 years ago there wasn't a lot of people plugging in their console controllers and playing on their PC, but I'm sure with the rise of there's been, Reiner, you can attest to this. I'm sure like 5 years ago or whatever, you'd always hear those, once a year it would be like, oh, is PC dead or whatever? And obviously that, PC is thriving. So I think, a lot of culmination of factors have made it, made it possible for them to be like, look, we've got to put this out on PC.
Right. And which is great. I love it. One thing you noted in your review, Kato, is that the PC version right now is really not tangibly any different than the console versions.
Yeah, there definitely are, graphical settings you can fool around with. Mm-hmm. You can make it look better. But I think when you're playing it and, if you're looking for, I'm not a big frame rate
snob
guru. My eye can't, tell what some other people's can tell. But, I think even with things like that, sure, it does look better and it runs great, but it's a very similar, I think, very gameplay experience.
Now, what I want to see is, are people going to mod the bejesus out of Madden 19 on the PC? That's what I want to see, because a lot of times the developer and the publisher can't stop that. People just do it. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have any official mod support. It's something that, of course, they've said, oh, you know, it's, you know, we'll look at it, and if the community, you know, this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
But it's not official. I don't, you know, here's a question then. How does that, how would that work then with Origin, you know, it sort of going through the Origin platform?
Well, they could and almost certainly will. Like, if you're going to play an online match, if you're running a modded version, if they can detect that you're running a modded version of it, they're not going to let you play.
Yeah, or you'll probably get banned.
Well, you may, depending on what kind of stand they take on it. You know, they could be more savvy about it and say, if you've got a cosmetic mod, fine. You know, we don't care. If you've got something that's a strategic advantage, then we're going to stop you or ban you, or we're only going to let you play in a match that has, you know, no consequence, and, you know, or something. I mean, they can handle a lot of ways. But as a longtime PC gamer, you know, you can't fight it. So, you know, you might want to embrace it. I mean, you know, for a long time, you know, people were modding, you know, against the will of, like, Bethesda, and they were modding up, you know, Fallout. But it ended up being great for them in the long run. Hopefully they'll do that. But let's get into Madden 19, shall we?
By the way, it sounds like Scott Porter of Friday Night Lights fame will be calling in at 8:15.
He has a voice acting role once again in Madden 19. All right, good. We'll talk to him. We'll talk to Scott Porter at that time. All right, Cotto. First, yes, no, is this just a glorified roster update? Madden 19.
I don't think so. I'm a guy, as you know, you're saying at the top of the show, I've played plenty of Madden, and... yes, I think that there's certain things that are definitely the same, and, you know, there's some of the gameplay things, and we can talk about that, you know, which maybe longtime fans, you know, may be a little disappointed in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think with a lot of the gameplay animations, which I think are getting tighter, a lot of the movements are getting better, like, you know, when you're running with a running back and you're just, you know, running, obviously, you're running and catching with the wide receivers, things like that, I think are feeling better all the time. And I think another thing is, you know, I know not everybody plays every mode, but I'm a guy who does like to try to take in as much of the game as I can.
Yeah.
There's just a lot there. I mean, we just were talking about Scott Porter. There's another chapter of Longshot. You know, we can talk about that. There's all kinds of things, different sort of flavors of the game, and I mean, I enjoy a lot of them. So it's, you know, again, I think there are definitely people who are going to play it, and they're going to be like, oh, you know, this does feel very similar to last year, but I think it's a very good game, and I just have a lot of fun with it.
That's great. And it is, it's, you really can get a lot of play out of Madden if you want to. I mean, you can attack that thing so many different ways and go so deep into it, and you can play competitively, and there's so many things that you can do. It really is a deep game that sometimes we forget. Talk to me about the player progression in franchise mode, because you talked about in your review at GameInformer.com, Cotto, you talk about the changes that they've made and how sometimes the results were frustrating.
Yes, so if franchise mode is a mode that they've gone into this year, whereas I think last year and the year before, they didn't really touch it a whole lot. So the main and pretty much the only thrust of the addition for this year for franchise mode is the progression system. So instead of, you know, last year you would go and you'd, you know, play your game, and at the end of it, depending on how you performed, you would get a skill point, and you'd put it in your player, and you'd spend it. Let's say I want to spend this on speed, and I want to, you know, I want to buy some more agility. This year, it's not about choosing those attributes yourself. It's about picking kind of an archetype bucket, as we call it. So it's like, okay, Stephon Diggs, if you want to go into him, you can put a point into the deep threat bucket, or you can put a point into the slot receiver bucket,
and then it will assign where, you know, how it's going to upgrade my guy instead of me making that decision.
Yes, and that upgrade that is a random bump too. So
yeah,
sometimes it'll only be +1 in this one category, +2 in this other, or sometimes you'll get like +7 spread across, you know, agility, you know, deep route running, and, you know, spectacular catch.
So if I'm Electronic Arts, why do this? I mean, isn't part of the whole point that I can customize my player my way? Why effectively turn that into a slot machine pull? Yeah.
They said two things. They said that one, people found applying the individual points too tedious, and two,
oh, come on.
And two, this is what they say. They say that
what?
They said that there's people who would, let's say, wait all year, and they would spend all their points. Let's say they had, you know, 5 upgrade points. They'd put it all into speed, and then, you know, maybe that was the only category they would put it in.
Okay.
That player would be overpowered. And then when it came to contract time, they weren't treated as, let's say, a star player who is, you know, dominant on the field. They would look at all the attributes, not just the speed, and they say, well, this receiver's really not that good.
Yeah, right.
So it's a low contract.
They get code around that easy enough.
Yes. That's like not addressing the problem. That's like just treating the symptoms in a weird way. But here's one thing I had was kind of a shower thought on my part is the randomization, it does work. And I've gone through and done a bunch of simulations with a bunch of different players at different positions.
Okay.
And very often you get good attributes, things that you like. You know, it's like, oh, okay, like my, you know, mid-range route running went up and, you know, my release off the line went up. That's great because I'm a slot receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But you get into that randomization, like endorphin sort of hit where you're like, okay, what's it going to be this time? And you hit it and you see it, you know, and it opens up and you say plus, 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 you know.
Okay.
It makes you think with, you know, how fun that is for gamers in so many games today. And there's no money attached to that.
Yeah,
so let's be clear. But it's just one of those things where you wonder if they were like, oh, you know, turns out people really like random loot, you know, or whatever. Let's feed into that. But that's a conspiracy theory on my part.
EA's just got to give up the whole loot thing.
I know.
After Star Wars Battlefront.
They can't stop themselves.
No.
Even if this is not a money thing. But they've taken away our ability to customize our player our way, and instead they've given us something of a slot machine pull. Granted, it's in an archetype. I want a deep threat receiver, but still, at the end of the day, I really want to build my own guy my way. And if you won't let me put 5 straight points on speed, okay, you know, you can stop me from doing that. I can only put 3 at a time or whatever. I mean, you put other rules in place.
And here's the thing is, on top of this randomization and sort of, you know, non-customization sort of system, they've loaded on something they call schemes. So that's trying to pretend like, okay, well, you're going to run the West Coast scheme, so therefore you need these particular types of receivers and linemen and stuff. And that all makes sense. You know, we all understand
that
as football fans.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really feed down because, you know, if you're as a coach and you're saying, well, how am I going to design my offense? Who do I have available and how is it going to suit where I want to play, it doesn't really filter down like that. So instead, what you have to do is you have to kind of work around it. You've got to work very hard to work around their system to maximize it as they intend.
Yeah.
So then you're looking at, well, if the old system was complicated and fussy and it took a lot of time, you're giving, you know, you're making me work around and you're getting the same results.
Right, right. Now, so while we're on the topic of microtransactions, you know, this is a game they've monetized very well with microtransactions in the past. How odious is this? It is Electronic Arts, after all. What are the microtransactions in Madden 19?
The microtransactions are restricted to the Ultimate Team mode.
Yep.
Which, for anybody who doesn't know, it's like a fantasy football kind of card-based mode where you go in and you play the games out on the field like you normally would.
Yep.
But you're ruling over your deck of cards, and, you know, there are always new cards coming out, and you're doing various things to, you know, open packs to get the best cards.
Mm-hmm.
The cards are players, by the way.
Yes, right? I'm sorry. The cards are players, and there's some, you know, coaches and stadiums, but it's all, you know, it's players. There are microtransactions in there.
Yeah. So I can just buy cards.
Oh, you can spend
decks,
all the money you have in the world on to get points to get new cards. But this year, there's a couple different ways to get more coins, which is also how that's in-game currency that you can spend on packs. And as somebody who, you know, 3-4 years ago, I didn't play it very much. I would just sort of mess around with it. Mm-hmm. But in the past couple of years, I've definitely gotten into it. I don't spend any money. And part of the reason is that they have enough avenues for you to be like, if you want to spend time, you can get the cards you want. If you want to spend money, you can get the cards you want. You'll have to do one or the other, but there's avenues. And even within the time bucket, there's different ways you can spend your time. So I think it's actually it's a well-designed system.
All right. We'll give EA credit for that then. Talk to me about franchise mode. You mentioned scouting, free agency, Unchanged.
Yep.
All right, good. So people are familiar with that. Don't need to make a change there. You mentioned there's an addition that can make a big difference, the ability to create custom drafts. What does that mean?
So when you come to the draft before the draft, when you're scouting for the draft, you know, usually it asks you if you want to just auto-generate random people.
Players.
Yeah, which is what they used to do last year and all in the previous years.
Yep.
But now you can go in and you can edit anything about those players. So if you just want to edit the names, you can do that. If you want to take a particular person and, let's say, move them from the bottom of the first and move them to the consensus sort of number one pick on the general, you know, big board of the game, you can do that. And, of course, you can also change all their attributes. So you can make them 99 in every category and then stash them down in the seventh round so that, you know that when, Alan Smithy comes up, when you're in the seventh round, that's your 99 guy.
Oh, I love Alan Smithy. I'm so high on him for next year.
Big, and lot of steam on Alan Smithy.
A lot of that. Yeah, absolutely.
But one of the best parts of it is that you can save it and then you can upload it and you can put it available for other people.
And
you
that's
can,
even on console.
Yes, and you can download other people. So if
that's
someone
great.
Says, hey, everybody, I recreated this year's draft class.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, I've sprinkled in some busts and some gems, enjoy. They can put that in the little description so you know. Or someone might do, like, I'm going to do a Game of Thrones, draft thing. All the characters, pull all these characters.
Jon Snow's awesome.
Right.
You can do that and then, import it up. And, I imagine there might be some that somebody asks EA to take down and EA will probably take them down.
Sure.
But there's going to be some good draft
classes. That'll be fun.
There. Yeah.
And it'd be interesting if there was a way to have, somebody here locally would do, like, the Gophers, and here's your Gopher draft class, and most of them won't get drafted, but some of them might, and people around the country could do that, consolidate, whatever. But people will, because humanity's great that way. I like that they're letting people do that, and I'll give EA kudos for that too. Let's talk gameplay. Pass. You mentioned the pass defense. You think that's been changed and improved, or at least the AI has? Is that what I got out of your review of Madden 19?
Yeah, I think so. Previous years, linebackers used to be a big point of contention because they used to be they used to jump up, and they used to
snare balls out of the air. It happened to me a lot.
Now, people, I think, might think that still happens, but I think with me, it's like you really got to pay attention to where those linebackers are sitting in their zones. You got to pay attention to the kinds of passes. So if you're trying to, let's say, go over a linebacker's head, but you're using a bullet pass.
Yeah.
If they're facing you and they're watching your eyes, they're probably going to
come down with it.
Yeah. Of course, you use a little touch pass or you wait a little bit on that route for the receiver to get soft part of that zone. You can drop that in. And that's when, those are the feel good moments where you've recognized something and you've executed it like you're supposed to.
Yeah. Those are gratifying, like in any game.
Yeah.
When you've recognized what you need to do and actually pull it off. That's a lot of why we play. The running game, though, you don't seem as impressed.
I think the running game is a little tougher. You got all those bodies in the trenches. Mm-hmm. There's still things that happen, let's say, like behind the line of scrimmage where you might, defensive linemen kind of come in and the animation for their tackle runs before you're sort of, even if you react to it, it's sort of locked in, so to speak.
Yep.
But there is something called one cut, which is a way to kind of like plant your foot and go, which is a nice kind of change of direction. It doesn't always work in the sense that, like I said, some of those predetermined animations will still run.
Right.
But I think the game does feel good when you're just controlling, the running back kind of through the holes, maybe getting to that second level and, of course, out in open field.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely feels good. And that's part of some of the new kind of player movement that they've put in this year.
Boy, over the past maybe 3 or 4 years, they've really improved the skating feel of the running. I mean, for a decade, it really felt like your running backs were on skates. And I think they've done a good job of getting a more organic feel into Madden. Let's move on. You mentioned this earlier. Animations continue to improve, get more fluid. You don't see the same animations. If you played a lot, you could see the start of how a tackle would go. You'd be like, oh, that's going to end up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you also notice some stuff more along the sidelines, like one cut, the thing I just was talking about, where you plant your foot and you kind of accelerate out of it.
Yeah.
You can really kind of see some of that come into play. Even if you don't use it, you can see some different, better animations running along the sidelines. So you're not getting sucked out as much.
Yeah.
Certainly with the tackles and stuff like that, you're seeing a lot of good stuff. And, post play also, just when guys are getting up off of the piles. And it's little things here and there.
It's Madden 19. Kato did the full review at GameInformer.com. You can read the full review there. Kato, out of 10, what did you grade it?
I gave it an 8.
And how does that compare to previous years?
Last year was an 8-2-5.
Okay.
You know, last year I wasn't a huge fan of the fact that they didn't upgrade franchise, and some of the features were definitely more tuned to the hardcore audiences. Mm-hmm. This year it's a little bit more the new features are spread across, you know, the different modes and stuff. But, you know, as we talked about at the top of the show, I'm sure there's still, you know, there's still plenty of gameplay stuff that, you know, I'd like fixed, and a lot of the longtime players would like to see fixed. So, you know, with sports games, it's always tough because, you know, no pun intended, but the goalposts always kind of move. You know, you expect a certain right. amount of progress.
Yeah.
And, you know, I gave the other one last year an 8-2-5. This one's an 8. It's still a good game. It's mm-hmm. just that, you know, as the years goes on, especially in this console cycle, home consoles in particular, you know, we expect more.
And yeah.
I think the score reflects that.
When we come back, we'll do a little sideways conversation about Madden with Scott Porter. He's the actor that you probably know from Friday Night Lights. Can't remember the name of his character anymore because I haven't watched the show in like 5 years. Quarterback.
Jason QB Street. One.
Jason
yeah,
Street.
There you go.
Thank you, Zach. Jason Street. And he's a voice actor in the long shot mode, so Kato. We'll talk to Scott about long shot mode. It's about the only thing we haven't covered yet with Madden. When we come back, it's Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. It's Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Charging with you. Reiner Kato from Game Informer. We just broke down virtually every part of Madden 19 last segment. The one thing we didn't touch was the story mode, the drama of the game called Longshot. This is Longshot Homecoming, and it stars Scott Porter, who was nice enough to join us at this time last year, but it was the very bitter end of our show, and we only had a couple of minutes to sort of try to squeeze stuff in, and then frankly, I went all fanboy on Friday Night Lights, and the whole thing turned ugly, and yeah, this time we're going to do it right. Hello, Scott.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good. Nice to talk to you. Reiner says you're friends, but you know, having known Reiner for a long time, I find this to be a very, very dubious suggestion.
Wait, what's dubious? The friendship of Reiner and I?
Yes.
No, it's a very organic, very grounded, very, it's a great friendship. We've even played Battleborn together. You can play that game with real friends.
Hey, that thing's a bloodbath. You better be good friends. Holy cow. Well, good to talk to you, Scott. Kato did the full review of the game, and he's been all the way through Longshot. And it's not even out for most of us yet, so I haven't touched this thing yet. So I'm going to let Kato carry a lot of this conversation, but I want to start here. Tell us about what it takes for you to act in this. Most people, when we hear about professional actors that are in a video game, it's just voice acting. But it sounds like this was a lot more sophisticated than that.
Yeah, no, this is full performance capture. You're in a full suit. You're on blank white stages or volumes, they call it, for mm-hmm. performance capture for all the 3D modeling. And it's a lot of make-believe. And a lot of actors who work in film and television have a lot of work done for them already. The props, the sets, you know, when I was playing Jason Street on Friday Night Lights, I had a chair that I sat in that helped me get into that character almost every single day. You have none of that. It's
right.
all stripped away, and it's just you using your imagination on a set with, one or three other actors and trying to do what you can. Now, it wasn't crazy performance capture like you would do in a Call of Duty game where
right.
you've got literally a foam gun and you're running and getting behind little pads acting like you're, you know, entrenched in World War II warfare. But it still is challenging in the fact that there's nothing there in front of you. You just have to see it. But the process of filming something like this is really incredible because they have cameras that are shooting all around you, and they already have inputted all of the scenery, the stadiums, the houses, the locker rooms, and you can actually take a look at the director of photography's camera as he's shooting it, and he's seeing you live
yeah.
in a 3D environment that's already existing. So everyone else can see it but you, but it's incredibly cool, and it's some of the most fun I've had in my entire career.
And do I understand correctly that you play the character that you play in Madden 19, the long shot homecoming mode, Colt Cruz, is a struggling musician, and you're a musician, and you actually played this and sang this, and this is really you, Scott Porter, doing this?
Yeah, all the vocals in the game are me. I didn't write the songs. The song that I sang in the first game was actually written by Theo Fleury, of all people.
Wait.
The song that I was in the second game is go ahead.
The hockey player?
Yes, the hockey player who retired from hockey and then became a country music star.
Really?
Young, our director, worked with him on an NHL game and called him up and said, "Hey, I remember you saying you write songs and we need a song. So what do you think?" And he wrote the theme song to Long Shot, season one.
So
song for Colt Cruz catapults him to some moderate fame in the music world. And that's kind of where you open Long Shot Homecoming, with Colt Cruz playing a show after not quite catching on with whatever team you might have gotten him drafted in the first season. So spoiler alert, that's where you start with Colt, and then things get really crazy from there.
Yeah, Scott sings to me all the time. It's a beautiful voice.
Every night, sings you to bed.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just put speakerphone right by the pillow, and
sings me a lullaby, and I'm gone.
That's precious, really.
So did he have the number one hit in Finland?
Yes, it was the number one hit in Finland. That's right. Long Shot, the theme for the reality television show in season one, became number one in Finland. So that's really what he's weighing out. Do I keep on trying to try out for NFL teams, or do I just move my happy ass to Finland?
So when they were putting the script together, you mentioned Mike Young. When he was putting the script together with Adrian Tadzaniga, did you have any input in that script? In your character?
You know, we had an impact on the day. You know, the script was written by Mike and Adrian, Adrian Zuniga, his writing partner, and that's what we showed up every day with. But Mike is an incredibly generous director, which kind of plays into the I had more fun on this than almost anything I've ever done before, because he would come to J.R. Lemon, who plays Devin Wade in the game, and I almost every day and speak to us about the scene work that we would be doing. And we would kind of have a little bit of banter back and forth. Friday Night Lights was very similar. And the fact that we would say it as it was written once, maybe twice, and then we would start to play. And we would get off the page. A lot of ad-libbing, a lot of improv on both projects. And, you know, it was more difficult with Long Shot just because we shot branching dialogue for both seasons, for season one and for Homecoming. We shot branching dialogue as well. Now, branching dialogue didn't make it into the game this time around, but we shot it. And as we shot it, we would have more and more input and then just kind of follow our road signs back to the interstate, so to speak. That is the main thoroughfare of the storyline, you know, the main thrust of it. But he allowed JR and I to really kind of lead the charge on the day, especially with a lot of new actors in this time around who weren't used to shooting branching scenes.
We're talking to Scott Porter. You probably know him best from Friday Night Lights. He is the voice of Colt Cruz in Madden NFL 19, the Long Shot Homecoming mode.
So what's it like working with Rob Schneider? That was kind of a weird addition to the cast, but it sounds like it worked out pretty well.
You know, I didn't get to work with Rob Schneider, but I did show up the day that he worked and watched him and JR play back and forth. And Rob Schneider was everything you would expect him to be. He was keeping everybody on their toes constantly, and he said as he was leaving that day, "I think this is the best thing I've ever done in my life." And he's really freaking good in the game. He's very good in the game.
What character does he have in this?
He plays a sleazy general manager who kind of is, he shows the dark side of the NFL. J.R. Lemon played college football at Stanford. He played in the NFL for the Raiders. He caught on training camp with them. He played in the NFL World League over in Europe for a little while, came back, and caught on with another team before ultimately choosing acting as a career after that. And in talking with him, you know, Mike really found out just how how much politics plays into who ends up on the field. We'd always like to say it's the most talented guys that are getting their full shot in the NFL, but it's not. It's just that's not the truth. And you start to see why, really through the eyes of Rob Schneider's character. You know, he's trying to do what he thinks is financially right for the organization. And, you know, it kind of flies in the face of what the people who really know football that are a part of the organization are trying to do. Ron Cephas Jones, wonderful actor who is on Mr. Robot and This Is Us, as well as a number of other things, is kind of his adversary. He's the quarterback's coach helping Devin Wade in the pros, and Rob Schneider is against him at every turn. So it's really a wonderful storyline and incredibly well acted between the two of those actors, as well as JR.
I'm intrigued.
Now, I don't want to give anything away for people who haven't played the mode yet, but you work with an actress who plays a very important part in the new story, and your two characters spend a lot of time together on screen. And I was wondering if you could talk about working with this new character. You mentioned some of the people hadn't, you know, maybe done mocap or whatnot, but, you know, when I was playing the mode, I thought, you know, the two of you guys did a great job, you know, having some kind of awkward moments, having some, you know, understandings and kind of bonding moments, some emotional moments. Can you talk about, you know, working with this, the new actress in the mode?
Yeah, I think that Joey King is on a lot of the ad stuff and a lot of the promotional stuff and the images. So I'll just go ahead and say Joey King is the actress who plays a big role in Colt Cruz's storyline. And if you don't know Joey King, if you haven't watched Fargo, the first season of Fargo, she played Colin Hanks' kid. She has like the biggest Netflix film ever lately called Kissing Booth. But she, as well as Jimmy Tatro, who is in the game, who is the lead of American Vandal, who is incredibly funny. We got all these young, incredibly talented actors to sign on to this little story mode in Madden. And the reason Joey jumped in is Joey and I have known each other for a few years. We met through one of my old co-stars on Heart of Dixie, Jamie King. And we've known each other for quite some time. And I think she was kind of interested in maybe working with a friend. That's really kind of cool, doing a video game. That's something she's never done before. But then she read the script and she realized just how much emotional depth the character that she plays has. And we had just a blast. I mean, tears, laughter, like a real struggle, a real journey. I don't want to say exactly the part that she plays in Colt's life because that is a big, bit of a surprise for players who, you know, she comes kind of out of the blue and you're not expecting Colt's storyline to take a turn like it does. But it is high drama and it's pretty incredible the impact she has, her character has on Colt. And we had nothing but the best time. And Jimmy Tatro, that guy, cracking jokes every day on set, as you would expect if you watched American Vandal. He has some of the funniest moments in the game. And literally, when he signed on to do Madden, he had 6 written lines. And, you know, expanded it a little bit, but he signed on to the project only having 6 lines because it's Madden and because he had heard such good things about the first season. And hopefully we really continued to set that high bar with the second season as well.
You talk about working with Joey King. Was it weird doing motion capture with the nude scenes?
No nude scenes.
Okay.
But that being said, you literally, you filmed the entire thing in nothing but basically a wetsuit.
Right.
And cat makeup. I mean, they put all these lines on your face and you're looking at each other trying to have a serious conversation. Really. I mean, you literally are in a wetsuit with neon patches all over it, and then these little shiny balls everywhere.
Yeah.
You look like some goth Christmas tree, and it's very difficult to just keep it together. But somehow we managed to push through. We did it.
All right. Final question for Scott Porter.
Yeah, has EA told you what's next for the character and for the mode?
Mum's the word right now.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting watching EA's reaction to Longshot. Last year, they were really hot on Longshot, and then as the game was getting closer to release and a lot of the fans on Twitter were, you know, asking, why are you doing a story mode instead of, you know, beefing up franchise or whatever reason, EA went a little cold on it. And then the game released and all the reviews came out, and, you know, a lot of, I think Game Informer included, a lot of sites and reviews said, you know, there's a standout mode, and it's long shot from Madden 18. Yeah. And EA was back on board, and they were like, let's gotten JR to London. Let's send him to New York. Let's have them team up with Chad Ochocinco and play in a Mutt Squad tournament. We were happy to do all that. And then we did Long Shot 2, and like I said, we shot Branching Dialogue, and we had a huge, beefy story, and EA called and said, you know what, we want you to take all the Branching Dialogue out. We want you to streamline the experience. And I just think that, you know, maybe Madden's not quite sure what to do with us. I think the product that we put out is pretty awesome, and it's pretty cool that Cole Cruz and Devin Wade in both Madden 18 and Madden 19 are in Madden Ultimate Team. They're kind of open a pack and play with the cards you pull mode,
yeah,
against friends and foes. And Colt and Devin, if you play through the story and then play through the challenges in Mutt, have pretty high level cards. And I've seen tournament winners with Colt Cruz on their team.
That's
team.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool. You've got Randy Moss on one side. You've got, you know, a Jerry Rice on the other, and you've got Colt Cruz. Like, what is happening? If you would have told me so many years ago, I played half a semester of college football at the University of Central Florida before I realized it wasn't my future. It wasn't what I was meant to do. If you would have told me then I'd be in Madden someday, I would have told you were smoking the good stuff. But, hey, I'm in the game, and I hope I continue to be in the game. It's been a real honor to be a part of a franchise that has meant this much to me throughout my life, and I know a lot of sports fans out there feel the same way. So it's been an honor, and hopefully this isn't the last of Cole Cruz.
I hope you're right. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you chiming in and joining the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you all for having me.
Scott,
yeah, see you soon, man.
And Reiner, what time do you need me to call you to sing you that lullaby tonight?
About 9 p.m. Central.
Okay, great. We'll do. All right.
You pansy. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate
see you, Scott.
That. Scott, actor Scott Porter, you know him best as Jason Street in Friday Night Lights. Nice enough to join us. You'll be able to see and hear his work in the new Madden NFL 19. When we come back, Dead Cells, one of the highest reviewed games by Reiner all year long. You'll hear about it when we come back.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show, Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Charchin with you. Reiner and Cotto from Game Informer. We've been all Madden to this point. And again, you can read Cotto's review of Madden 19 at GameInformer.com.
I have one last bit of info for Madden for you.
Yes.
Team ratings.
Team ratings.
The Vikings are ranked 6th. Does that sound right? Behind the Eagles, the
yes.
Patriots,
maybe
the Steelers.
Nah.
The Falcons.
No.
The Rams.
No, we hammered the Rams here.
And then it's the Vikings.
Last year.
Highest rated player, Harrison Smith at a 97.
Well, he should be. I mean, honestly, you know, if Harrison Smith plays 6-7 more years, he's looking at a Hall of, at this level, he's looking at a Hall of Fame bust. If he plays at this level for 6 or 7 more years, which is not, you know, it's not a given for anybody. But
I can say, actually, in the game when you're playing as the Vikings, believe it or not, the offensive line will cause you fits, yeah, whether it be
really?
Pass protection,
wow, like,
or run blocking.
All right, so it's accurate that way.
Yes.
Yes. I'm already in a panic. You're not helping, Cotto. Dead Cells is a game Reiner's been telling me about for a month, and I think you've mentioned it on air a couple of times, off air for sure, Reiner. Like, look, this, you know, this thing's coming, and it looks really, really good, and I can't wait to play it. Then you got your hands on Dead Cells. This is a side-scrolling Metroidvania game with roguelike. It's a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of adjectives with roguelike elements to it. Tell us about Dead Cells.
Yeah, so when you boot it up, it's going to look like a game from yesteryear, from like the Super Nintendo era. Mm-hmm. You know, sprite-based, side-scrolling. You're running through a castle. It really does look like a Castlevania experience.
Okay.
Using a sword or a whip or whatever blunt object you could pick up.
It's got a whip. It's really like Castlevania.
Yeah, you're taken down. Yeah, you'll even find a secret in a wall that reveals a slab of meat that you can eat to heal yourself.
Okay.
I mean, big
that's
Castlevania
fans loving,
on the team.
Loving tribute, let's call
it. But the thing that's different about that makes it a roguelike is when you die, let's say you get 5 levels into the game.
Okay.
You're kicking butt. when you perish, you go all the way back to the beginning of the game.
Oh, boy.
And that's a roguelike for you. That's the element where it's just crushing.
Permadeath.
But the thing that really kind of makes it forgiving and
I get
such a game where you want to go one more run is that you're gaining things called cells from enemies, randomly dropping on enemies. Not everyone will do it.
Okay.
But you can, if you reach a midpoint in a level, a safe room, if you will, you can cash those cells in to buy certain things like a health flask, which will help you. So you can, you don't have to find that wall meat. You can immediately heal. Or you can get a mutation that will allow you to revive upon death. Or you get better weapons. So you're cashing in these cells, kind of ticking up in certain buckets to reveal these items that you can have permanently when you respawn.
All right, so these cells are abilities that I'm going to have for the rest of the game once I'm able to unlock them.
Yeah, so you continually find this stuff. So at every run, you're like, oh, I just unlocked this, or I got that, or I'm 50 cells away from unlocking a random sword at the beginning of the game. Like, all these things are meaningful.
Okay.
And what they do to really kind of keep it fresh is all the levels are procedurally generated. And
now, let me clarify this. Procedurally, so it's randomly generated, but is that to say every run is different?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So the weapon drops will be different.
All right, good.
The levels will be different. There's certain points in the levels, like at the very end, that are sculpted,
okay,
that are identical because it's like a secret or a new area you can get to. But most of the level is completely different.
All right.
Enemy formations are different. Yes, it is the same kind of theme, you know, from level 1 to 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you go through it, it feels different, and you feel like you're gaining power. That's what Dead Cells does very well, is the pursuit of power and making you go from like 0 to 60 in feeling like you stand a chance within like a matter of minutes.
Okay. So even though I'm going to replay level 1 over and over and over again, but it's going to be procedurally generated, so it's going to look and feel at least a little bit different every time.
Yeah. The path through it is always different.
Is there a story that am I going to be encumbered by a story? Am I just doing the killing here?
You know, your character loses his head at the beginning of the game for reasons unexplained.
Okay.
And then it's kind of replaced with like a fiery black hole like thing on where his head used to sit, kind of like Ghost Rider.
As heads often are.
Yeah. That thing consumes souls or cells.
Cells.
And you're good to go. That's about all the story you need. Again, it's all about becoming powerful, and it feels so good. This is one of those games that is fast-paced. Every death you feel like is your fault. It's not the game.
Oh, good. So you don't feel cheated?
No. Yeah. You really do feel like you get in over your head, or you took on too much, and you're like, I blew it. And you start again, and you want to get back to that point. But again, you really don't feel like there's ever a point that you can't get past it.
What's the difficulty level of Dead Cells?
I would say it's in the middle.
Okay.
I think you
by
could
by your standards or my standards of the middle?
My standards.
All right. No, then it's
might be a little too tough for me. Charge.
It might be. Yeah. I might be whimpering by the end of that thing.
But this is one of those games you're going to play late into the night. Just one more run, and all of a sudden it's like 5 a.m. and you got to go to work.
What consoles is this on? Dead Cells.
PS4, Xbox One,
Switch,
PC, and
Switch.
You can play it on the go on Switch.
Yes. Yes.
Fantastic. And it's great on Switch.
I got a long driving trip ahead of me soon. That's going to be fantastic.
Are you going to be doing the driving then, or are you doing the
I can do both. I mean, I don't, why not? You know?
R.A.P. Church.
It's been nice knowing you. Kato will take over for me next week. Thank you for coming in, Kato. Great
thank
stuff
you.
On Madden. Appreciate that. Thank you to Scott Porter for coming in. Reiner, as always. If you missed any part of the show, check out the podcast, KFAN Fan on Demand. Also available on iTunes. Thank you for leaving reviews and ratings for the show there as well. Back next week. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.